All you entrepreneurs out there, today we have a fun one. We have Sabrina Musk. She is an author. She's written 4 books with her 4th book coming out. It's called A Terrible Dater. It'll be out in the next couple of weeks. We really go into depth with her history of where her writing style came from, why she writes, and how she's able to be so vulnerable in her writing style. I hope you guys like it. Please subscribe. Please share it. Please comment. We'd love to hear your feedback. Have a great one, guys.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right. Thank you, Sabrina, for being here today.
Yes, thank you. I'm excited to sit down and chat about all these good topics.
So, Sabrina, tell us a little about your writer.
I'm a writer. I was thinking about it on the drive over here where I do kind of juggle a lot of different hats. Like I run Write Less Bad. It's a, you know, content creation marketing firm. And then I have my books and then I have my blog. And it's all, you know, some are way more creative in my own like passion projects and some is definitely much more like business focused. But it's all writing and it's all sharing and creating a message that really like speaks to the audience, whatever that audience may be. So, yeah. And it just depends on, you know, sometimes it's really business focused and sometimes it's really ridiculous and humor based. So
your stories, you've written 4 books, right? And your stories have changed from Holocaust survivors, right? Mm-hmm. To about your sister, mm-hmm. and that situation that kind of happened there. And now it's more of kind of a comedic base. But they're all been stories, I guess. I've kind of intertwined them.
Yeah. I love sharing personal, like if I'm writing creatively, it's all personal experience or sharing someone else's story in a relatable way that really draws in a reader so they can feel it, imagine it, see it as if you're like standing there. And yeah, I mean, when I came out with the Holocaust books and the Musk Girls Love About My Sister's Death, I mean, that was 2009. And then the second Holocaust book was in 2012. Yeah. Very heavy. I mean, some of the stories are uplifting. There's moments for sure that are like fun and joyous and whatnot. But for the most part, like Holocaust survivor stories are not, you know, like you're not really laughing. No, it was very emotionally draining for those few years. And I've been working on this new book, 7 years now, but not consistently. It kind of started as part of my thesis actually in grad school. And then I kind of like set it aside and then I would revisit and I would write little snippets and, or maybe add like a blog post. And then all of a sudden, just in the past few years, I kind of, you know, was like, okay, I want to put this book together already. And then it transformed again and it transformed again. And then the past, I would say 6 months, I've just been like, you know.
So your current book is about relationships, right? Being single.
Yes. It's about being single, about the journey to find love, about discovering one's sexuality. It is all my personal experience, but with the hope that people reading it go, oh my God, that happened to me. Or, oh, I have a similar story. And then it opens up conversation because being single is kind of ridiculous a lot of the time. So,
well, you said 7 years ago when you kind of started the book?
Yeah.
So that 7 years ago to now, the dating scene is
totally
totally different.
And I talk about that. And I go from, you know, this is me. I had mentioned somewhere in the book about like my cousin had joked that I was a slow learner when it came to dating. Like I didn't kiss a boy till I was 18. I didn't lose my virginity till I was 21. Like very slow. Okay. And compared to my sisters and best friends, right? And I discuss all those changes. So it's like, this is me dating, you know, this is what the train was like in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then I start to get introduced to online dating in this way. And then I moved to Austin in online dating, but then I had this beautiful relationship and then that, you know, soured. And then all of a sudden it was this massive, like, you know, huge change with all the dating apps. And I talk about all, you know, and so in some ways it taking so long was for the benefit of the book. But yeah, it's a very cohesive way to show the progression of the dating terrain over the past decade. but that I feel like any person can pick it up and read it and go either, oh, that's happened to me, or I felt the same exact way, or man, I've always wondered what it's like to be single nowadays, you know, because they've been married for 20 years or 50 years, or they met their, you know, high school sweetheart and they never dated. And those people, I'm like, man, what is life like for you? You know, it's so different. I mean, you're not single right now, but you've dated, you know, it's very tough sometimes, but really funny.
Well, the interesting thing is because I'm in the real estate profession, I see people from the start to the finish. Sometimes I see them when they're in love, they find that property.
Yeah.
And then sometimes where they have to sell the property because they fell out.
It's actually really funny because I'm a member down at WeWork. I don't really go into the office very often, but I had met this guy, very nice, a little bit older than I, you know, typically would date. I mean, this is like 2 years ago now. And we ended up meeting up and we went surfing and I had realized that we had mutual Facebook friends. Mm. And so I messaged the girl who's a real estate agent and she was like, oh my God, yeah, I sold them their house. And I was like, who's they? She's like, you know, like, oh yeah, they're this really cute little family. And I'm like, she's like, maybe they're divorced. Turns out, yeah, she saw them. They were like really happy. Now he's getting divorced. He has this young kid. I mean, you know, and it's that you see the whole... There's so many things that can happen meantime.
Yeah, like, and for her and for myself, I only see the snippets of it, so I don't get to see what happened in between. So I got to put the pieces of what kind of happened.
Yeah.
You know, in the dating life, the dating world, you get to see it from start to finish. You get to see how it sours.
Yeah.
You know, because you're there. But for me, I only get to see like little snippets of it.
I saw this post on Facebook. It was like a, you know, kind of like a screenshot kind of joke or whatever. I think I just started following. It might have been from Hilarious Texts is the group, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And one of them was, you know, referencing someone not being very active on social media and posting once a year. And the, you know, the girl's like, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to stalk you for that whole year and with one photo?
Yeah.
And how am I supposed to follow the progression of your relationship with that one photo, you know?
Well, being that you've dissected, I guess, the single life, is it only your history of the single life, or do you talk to your friends, people you know, family members?
It's mostly me, but I bring in other people as examples. You know, if I'm talking about it, it's kind of woven into like a whole chapter of many different topics, but I talk about, you know, sleeping with someone on the first date or getting physical way too quickly. And I give examples of like, my parents slept together on their first date and then my dad dropped my mom off and said, see you later. And then like 3 months later, I don't know if it's 3 months or 3 years. I didn't include that in the book, so I haven't checked with my parents, but like my mom was obsessed with him. He was older. And then like she called him up one night, like a long time later. And he was like, oh yeah, I remember you. And then they ended up like getting, you know, literally getting married like 6 months later.
Oh wow.
So it's, you know, I share those examples of like, well, obviously these rules aren't always applicable. And, you know, it's like there's all these different variations. But it's mostly my experience.
Yeah. So. I would think like, and this is just, we're talking right here. I think one of the questions I would have, the rules, because I haven't been single for a little while, but it would be how quick after you meet the person or go on a date, can you friend request them? Or social media requests.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like that seems because stalking, and someone could be like,
for sure. That's funny, and that's not something I discuss, but it's something that I probably should have discussed. I don't typically friend request. I have noticed myself requesting like if I think a guy's really cute, and very rare because like most of the time in person, you know, they're kind of awkward. But you know, it might be like a mutual friend, but for whatever reason, guys end up, you know, they'll just friend request me. Yeah. And I'm almost hesitant to accept it.
Yeah.
Because even though, like, everything's pretty out there and a lot of my posts are public and you can go on my blog if you really want to, like, find out about me.
Yeah.
But there's some things I keep just for my friend, you know? And I'm like, man, like, I'm going to scare the shit out of this guy. And so I avoid accepting the friend request. But I agree. Like, there's some guys you, like, go on a date and then within, like, an hour, it's, like, friend request. And I'm like... No, too soon. Like, go, you can stalk around, whatever, do whatever you're going to do, but just, you know, not yet.
Some kind of boundaries. Well, so you're going back to your writing, your stories are about emotional, funny, emotional, but also, you know, can be sad, you know, from based off where the stories.
Yeah.
Have you always been a storyteller growing up?
You know, I wrote in a journal, and in some ways, not really. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, like, as a kid. And I only became, quote unquote, a writer after my sister's death when I started working on that book, which I didn't even realize was a book until, like, months into it.
Yeah.
It just, everything is just kind of like, I've just kind of, like, tripped over everything else. Like, okay, I guess this is what I'm doing. But no, I wasn't, like, creating. I did well in English class, but I wasn't creating stories in this way.
Yeah.
I would more so create them in my mind, or, like, I'm a very active sleeper. So, like, I create a lot of stories, and I might share it by myself, but it's not, I wasn't standing in front of a crowd or publishing these, like, short little stories as a, you know, grade school kid.
So the story about your sister,
mm-hmm.
right, the book that you wrote.
Yeah.
That's. Were you writing it then just to get it off your chest, or are you writing it for the idea to build this book, something for your...
Yeah, so originally it started as... I originally wrote an article, ended up being included in the book, but it was how I used yoga to help myself grieve. And it wasn't... I thought, okay, maybe I'll just, like, publish it in a magazine, and someone may relate to it. And it's, so my sister committed suicide. So there's a lot of, like, suicide awareness with it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until someone said, like, oh yeah, the book you're writing, because everyone knew that, most people around me, like, knew that I was writing.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was just that I didn't want to, like, forget her.
Yeah.
And I wanted to understand what happened, because it was a very complicated, like, her death investigation, like, was just closed a year ago.
Wow.
So it was, like, a very complicated scenario. It wasn't just, like, she killed herself.
Yeah.
We thought there was, like, foul play, which I still think there's foul play. But, you know, we didn't investigate it properly.
Yeah.
I was 21 years old at the time. 21? 21. My parents were, you know, kind of, like, totally just blown apart.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it didn't start as, I'm going to write a book about this.
Yeah.
It just, like, it developed into that.
Yeah.
And then I pretty much obsessively wrote and worked on that for, like, a year and a half.
How did you, because I'm assuming there was probably some adversity trying to get the book out there.
Right? Yeah.
So how did you overcome that, or what happened there?
You know, most people, I think today, in 2019, suicide awareness is much more accepted, or people aren't so afraid, you know, it's just become, it's very prevalent. Like, it's almost an acceptable thing to consider, where when my sister died, I knew that she was struggling that night, like, 'cause it was a pending divorce and all this other stuff going on. But it was literally the last thought that would have ever crossed my mind. And nowadays I think that everyone jumps to it. And so a book coming out now, it wouldn't have any type of, like, you know, friction to it, but it was received pretty well. Honestly, the most friction I got was from my family.
Oh, wow.
Was for my sisters. They weren't super thrilled about it.
Yeah.
But the living ones. But people really related to it. But I also, because it wasn't just about suicide. It was, my sister was bipolar. It really talks about our family dynamic. It talks about grief as in general.
Yeah.
You know, it goes into a lot of different layers. So,
well, and I think we all have some sort of suicide tendencies, or we think about every once in a while. And it's probably even tougher too. Like, we're talking about just, like, the snippets of people's life, especially on social media.
Yeah.
Where you only see the positives, and then you weigh yourself against someone else.
I just wrote down, like, a little blurb just to get it out of me. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I saw this article. Someone had shared this article. I mean, the girl committed suicide in 2014, I think. This young girl at UPenn literally, like, jumped to her death off the parking structure. And perfect life, quote unquote, on social media. Really beautiful, really athletic, really smart. Like, no one had any idea. And it is. I you know, and I kind of talk about that actually in the A Terrible Dater, the dating book. It's just the highlight reel, and no one really, most people aren't really open. And so I think a lot of my writing, what makes people sometimes uncomfortable is because it's pretty out there.
Yeah, like, pretty real.
You know, yeah. I mean, I might only feel a certain way for an hour.
Yeah.
But totally be fine and really happy. But, you know, people reach out to me, are you okay? I'm like, oh, yeah. I was just, you know, just felt an emotion and shared it. And that's okay, you know. Especially, you know, certain anniversaries and dates and experiences kind of, you know, bring things up. Yeah. But 100%, like, you know, who someone is on social media in some situations really is that person.
Yeah.
And in many other situations, they're very lonely, you know, very unhappy, or they just have snippets of that and they don't share that. I think it's very, it's a human emotion. It's very natural to have moments of loneliness, to feel like you're not good enough, to compare yourself. I mean, that's,
yeah, I think it's, for some people, it's a sign of weakness by showing that vulnerability out there.
100%.
And so they're kind of, I totally agree with you. Now, being that you've written already 3 books, I'm assuming getting those books just out there, getting them published, getting people to read it, makes you money off it. Mm-hmm. Like, were there struggles in accomplishing that, or?
For sure. Writing a book is one thing, and then properly marketing it and selling it is a whole other beast.
Yeah.
I didn't do it, you know, however way you want to define right.
Yeah.
The right way, in my opinion, I was with Musk Girls Love.
Yeah.
The Living Witnesses was kind of its own thing. My mom's a photographer, and she took the photographs of all the survivors. We covered like 400 international, like, living survivors. Wow. Which was like, I mean, really spectacular. Like, you didn't even know that there were that many living, you know? And really, really fascinating people. You know, had been through one of the most tragic things in the history of the world, right? And so they kind of dealt with, like, promoting that and selling that. But it really didn't make money. It's more than anything. It's a passion project.
Yeah.
It's how can we educate people about these are these stories. They're real people. It's not just a black and white photo that you see of a kid in the Holocaust. Like, they're real people. They're your friend's grandparents.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay, so... with Musk Girls Love, I was so young that I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Right? And so a lot of what I'm using right now is, you know, I'm going to be hosting a release party somewhere in San Diego. I'm still trying to, like, hammer out those details and figure out if it's going to be down at WeWork or up in Encinitas somewhere or La Jolla or wherever it is. And then also one in Detroit on February 21st, but it's... how can I use my network of bloggers, because I run SabrinaMuss.com, how can I use that network as well as other bloggers to really reach as many people as possible? Because I really do, like, in my heart of hearts, I just feel like any person that picks this book up is going to relate to it, because every single person wants to fall in love.
Yeah.
And every person has done the most ridiculous shit over the years to find someone that gets them.
Yeah.
And so there's a ton of marketing that goes into it. And, you know, I'm still trying to figure out what is the best way to do that. But a lot of it is just, okay.
Word of mouth.
You know, yeah, word of mouth. How can I get on, you know, do more interviews, have more coverage on, you know, online magazines, have the right people that have a larger audience go, I really like this book. You should read this too.
Yeah.
Because it's all about just connection and feeling like you're not alone, and you know, but with so much humor along with it. But that's really, like, the underlying message is, you know, hey, we're all the same. Everyone wants the same thing, and let's just laugh about it and learn from our mistakes, or at least learn from mine.
Yeah.
I guess it's maybe the best way to. So I'm offering myself up on a platter to just be completely humiliated.
So, like, being what you've learned now, because you've already accomplished by having a couple books under your name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being what you learn now, is there something you would give advice to your younger self, or maybe a younger writer?
In terms of how to write the book or how to market it?
Well, how to write the book, how to market it, how to...
I think one of the things that took me a while with Musk Girls Love, I wasn't finishing the book, and I wasn't finishing a book, and I didn't understand why. And then I had this experience, and it was like, oh, I really need to talk about how I was really struggling.
Yeah.
And I put this block up where I was very open throughout the book and like really raw, but there was a section like literally like cut out of the timeline of like, hey, this is what was really going on with me.
Yeah.
And so what I learned is that that's really what people connected with the most. Like the realness of, you know, yeah, we know that someone struggles after death, but like, what does that really look like and how intensely? And so with A Terrible Dater, I tried as best as I could really not to hold back.
Yeah.
But also be really intentional with like, you know, we were joking before this podcast started where, I mean, there are a million more stories that I didn't put into the book, as embarrassing as that is. Like, you have to be very choosy with what is the overall picture that you're creating, you know, like what is this, the message you're delivering, and what stories, even though there's like this, you know, huge bank of them, which ones are going to make the most impact on a reader, to make them at the end of the story go, ah, yeah, this is how I should, you know, I want to feel this way too. And I want to use this book as like an inspiration to, like my last chapter, I think the last chapter is titled Fuck It. You know, and it's just, I mean, the crap that you hear from people all the time and the pressure, and it's like, you know, just have kids, get married, do this, do that, you know? It's like, Jesus Christ, I feel like I'm still 16 years old. Like, leave me alone. So, yeah.
It's kind of funny how you break it down, because really you have the peer pressure, like in high school as younger, okay, you got to do this. Yeah. And then even in your social circles, peer pressure when someone has a kid or gets married, so on and so forth.
Yeah. I have a girlfriend of mine always says, she's old, she's late 30s. Hopefully I don't mess up her age, but late 30s, she's a comedian. And so she's super funny about it. But she, you know, she'll say like, I'll post a picture of me holding my friend's kid and the amount of comments like, oh, that looks good on you. Or I had this woman reach out to me. I don't remember what the connection was, but it was a matchmaking service where she was asking me like, hey, can you help me find someone? I love matchmaking. Mm. And I don't really do it very often, but I do love it.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, you know, well, I'm not, you know, I have maybe a couple people in mind, but, you know, da-da-da-da. And I reference my boyfriend or, like, you know, I'm in a relationship right now. I'm not really, like, hanging out with, like, going to, like, bars that I could, like, look for you, you know, that often. And she wrote, oh, congratulations on your, you know, as if, like, it was such a relief to her and to people, like, oh, you found someone.
Yeah.
Well, like, so am I not okay if I don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend, if you're or whatever, whatever, straight man, woman, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's that mindset of, you know, this is what you're supposed to be doing, which is very hard. I mean, it's so built into us, and it's very hard to kind of go, okay, like, I hear you, but that's not, like, I'm going to do it my own way kind of thing.
Well, there's even, like, I've been lucky enough to travel and live in other countries.
Yeah.
And you see how relationships are formed in those other countries, or how a relationship should be in those other countries. And you go, wow, I thought relationships were this way. Yeah. Okay, no, that was the way that my circle told me it was supposed to be.
For sure. Every culture is different. Every culture, you know, I mean, obviously it depends on the area. There's very few places in the world that really don't, you know, operate as quickly as the U.S.
Yeah.
But for sure, like, certain ways of courting here is completely different here. And where in this country, being 18 years old, pregnant and married, is that's the norm. I mean, it's just, and it's even within the U.S. Yeah. It's not like my culture, whatever was surrounding me, what I was brought up with and what I surround myself with as an adult, is very different from 100 miles away.
Yeah.
You know, or the Mormons, or the this, or the, you know, I don't know, you know, I mean, it's just every culture so different, and it's how can you figure out what works for you, not feel, and not just acting because you're out, like, feel like you're pressured to do something. I don't know.
No, but
it's all commentary. Yeah, it's all, you know, and not to say that I, you know, I was reading through my book. I was going through like the last edit this weekend, and I even thought to myself, I'm like, man, I'm not even following my own advice. You know, it's like, you think it, you say it, you write it, you feel it.
Yeah.
And it's still hard sometimes to go, just stick to your guns. Like, this is, that's not what you want to do right now. Like, just do what you want to do. So,
it's,
I don't know.
It's having a relationship game plan, right?
Oh, I know. I'm just like, I say to my boyfriend, joking, like, I can't remember. I'm like, oh. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you're not propose. I'm like, yeah, don't, please, don't propose to me right now. Like, aren't you so, and I'll always say, like, aren't you so happy I'm not one of those girls, like, begging you to, like, please, I will say no. Not ready, don't want that right now.
So if you guys listening love this kind of humor that Sabrina offers, get her new book. It comes out again when?
Valentine's Day. And there's going to be a couple release parties. I'm planning one for San Diego and one for Detroit, and then maybe kind of in between. But Valentine's Day, I made it. I thought that would be hilarious. I almost should have made it on February 15th for all the time. Everyone that, like, had a crash course on Valentine's Day and was pissed at their significant other, and they go, I'm going to buy this book now, you know?
So if you maybe don't have that special someone on Valentine's Day, buy the book, enjoy the book, and you can live vicariously through Sabrina.
Yeah, there's a lot of experiences to relive, so you'll get a good laugh.
And if they wanted to follow you online, what's the website again?
It's sabrinamuss.com. Most of my social media is at the Sabrina Muss. So for Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, I think.
And so all the release parties are going to be on the website?
There'll all be events on Facebook that are advertised. Instagram's a great way to follow me. You know, I'll share links and whatnot there. So, but it'll all be on the website as well.
Okay. And so right now, so we have the next book of
A Terrible Dater. Yeah.
So for the single life, dating, that kind of thing. Yeah. And I'm guessing the next book is going to be how you should get married, have kids, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Well, thank you, Sabrina.
Thank you.
We enjoyed it. Have a great one. If you guys want to take a look at our website again, sabrinamuss.com, please subscribe, Road to Growth, share it with your friends. We love to hear your feedback. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.